Today's reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, and verses 5 to 12. Before we read the word, let us pray and also pray for the sermon that prayers will preach. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and sit at your feet, to listen to your word. I pray that as we read your word, you will commit it to our memory. And as Piers preaches the word, I pray that you will instruct us and guide us and lead us for the week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 16, chapter 16, verses 5 to 12. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Well, Jane, thank you so much for reading. Can I add my welcome? I'm Piers Bickersteth. If you're new here, I'm the minister here. We're still getting used to this weird environment where we have to wear masks. We can't really sort of read one another's expressions, but we've had a good 2 or 3 weeks getting used to it. With all the children in with us, we're hoping to start children's groups for primary age children at the end of half term. We're just working on that, so that gives us something to look forward to. That's coming down the track, hopefully. Warning signs. Can you think of warning signs? There's a warning sign that was really helpful to me a few years ago. Karen and I lived in Australia, and we used to go swimming a lot in the sea. And that was fine until we got to a beach that had this warning sign on it. And when we saw that warning sign, we didn't go swimming because sharks are dangerous. And if you go into the water where there are sharks, it's not a good thing to do. So I was really glad when I went to a beach and saw a warning sign like that. What about this warning sign? If you see that warning sign, or maybe some of you relish it and think, yes, I like extra, extra hot chilies, but I don't. They make my eyes water, and they make my mouth go on fire, and they do all sorts of weird things hot chilies do. So I'm glad when I see that warning sign, maybe on a food item or in a restaurant, cafe, or whatever it is. But there's another warning sign that all of us have seen and all of us have had to take notice of. And it's this: stay alert, control the virus, save lives. And the reason I'm glad for this notice is the first bit says stay alert. And if I stay alert, then there's a consequence. We'll live. The reverse obviously is true. If I ignore the warning and I'm not alert, then the danger is that lives will be lost. And sadly, we know that to be the case. But I want today to talk about a warning that's much more serious than any of the warnings we've been thinking about, far more deadly than any of those, more deadly than eating extra hot chilies or swimming in shark-infested waters or COVID. And it is in our reading here. There's a warning that Jesus gives. You can see it there. Have a look with me. "Be careful," Jesus said to his disciples, "be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Stay alert. But what's the warning about? Well, it is about yeast. Now, if I had yeast in my hand, you wouldn't be able to see it, and I've only got a sachet of it here. If I put it out in my hand, it's so small you could hardly see it. Jesus told the disciples to watch out for the yeast. So they thought, well, we haven't got any bread with us on the journey. We're really hungry. Jesus must be speaking about bread. But is that right? Is that what Jesus meant when he said, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees? Well, you've got to go down to the end for an explanation. Look with me at verse 12. Jesus was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He was speaking, in other words, in picture language. He was speaking figuratively. Just think how yeast works. When I add this to water and flour, this gets to work. You can't see it working. You can't hear it working. Well, you can't see it working to start with, but it does work throughout the whole dough, and it causes the loaf or the dough to rise. It has, in other words, a massive impact. And Jesus is saying that the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees is like this. He's warning them. Maybe they didn't think their teaching was a big deal, that it didn't have a great effect. But Jesus says it has a negative effect. Be careful, be on their guard. But why? Why is it dangerous? Well, it must have been really confusing for them because the Pharisees and the Sadducees were part of the religious establishment of the day. They were Jews, like Jesus was a Jew. They were powerful, they were leaders and teachers. But instead of welcoming Jesus, they rejected Jesus. They were hostile to him. They taught against him. They spread fake news about him. Now, we know today that fake news is very dangerous. Social media can spread fake news like wildfire. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories, for example, around COVID. There are some who don't believe that COVID even exists or how it started. And they don't take the warnings, therefore, seriously, and consequences are that lives are lost. But think how this worked, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I want to draw the best visual aid you'll ever see from me. And it is this. It's just a line. But I want you to imagine that is the gospel line. At the heart of the gospel is Jesus coming to rescue a people for God, to do what we can't do, to pay the penalty for our sin. So we'll put a cross at the center of that line to represent Jesus's death and his resurrection. And the teaching of Jesus and the apostles is what all the Bible points towards. Now, I want you to think for a moment about a plus sign I'm putting up here, not a cross, that's a plus sign with P beside it to represent the Pharisees and their teaching, because they were teaching Jesus plus, if you like. This is what you had to do to get to God. There were lots of rules and regulations. A word often used is legalists. That was following the law. But remember, Jesus back in chapter 15 said the Pharisees, their hands look clean. They look as if they're doing all the right things, but their hearts were filthy and rotten. They were loading people up with burdens and asking them or calling them to fulfill those. That is what saved us. Be careful, says Jesus. Be warned, stay alert, because this teaching is actually departing from Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel, and it will eventually lead people not to heaven, but to hell. Well, what about the Sadducees? Well, we could put the Sadducees, we can put a minus sign there for the Sadducees. Their teaching, if you like, was below the line. So they weren't legalists. They were what we might call libertarians. Now, that's a fancy word. It just means they were into freedom. Come to Jesus and you're free. Now, of course, that's true. We are free. We are forgiven. But they were saying, how you live doesn't really matter. Jesus loves you. That's all that matters. All that resurrection stuff, you don't need to worry about that. But they too were leading people away from Jesus. They were departing from his teaching. They were stripping the gospel, the power of the cross, and the wonderful gift of God's grace. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees aren't around anymore, so do we not have to worry anymore? Well, their teaching is still around, whether it's gospel plus or gospel minus. And it's very appealing because it puts me and Jesus at the center. And Jesus's words to us today is the same as that to the disciples. Stay alert, because it's deadly teaching. It may be popular, it may look impressive, it may fill churches, people may lap it up, but in the end, it won't save lives. It'll lead to people losing their lives. So how can we stay alert if we're disciples? Well, two attitudes, an attitude to adopt and an attitude to avoid. First attitude to avoid is complacency. In other words, don't be lazy. Don't think that Bible teaching doesn't matter, that the gospel message we're hearing, it doesn't really matter. The spirit of our age is very contrary, isn't it? It's one of tolerance and liberation. What's true for you is true for you, and it's not. If it's not true for me, that doesn't matter. You have your truth, I have my truth. But Jesus is very countercultural. He says there is a line. There is a line, and that is something called truth. It does matter, so much so that Jesus was willing to die for it. So that's an attitude to avoid, being complacent and lazy about the Bible teaching and the danger of false teachers. There is an attitude to adopt, and that is to be on our guard, not to be sleepy, but to be wakeful, to be thoughtful. Now, there are many warning signs in life, aren't there, that we can easily ignore? In other words, if I like junk food and keep on eating junk food, the warning is that will not be good for me. And I need to hear that warning. Or if I take my mobile phone to bed every night, that will affect my sleep. That's the warning. But often we don't like warnings and we ignore them. But Jesus warns us for good reason. It is a matter of life and death. This government sign, stay alert, is there for good reason, because the consequence is that lives will be saved. But this is more serious than that. Jesus' death and resurrection, the teaching of the apostolic gospel, no more, no less, stay alert. Second thing to say is this, listen to Jesus. If you have a look with me at these words, you'll see in verses 8 and 9 and 11, Jesus has a rebuke for his disciples. You don't understand, he says, but the implication is that you should. You think I'm speaking about food. That shows you're more interested in your belly and your material possession, well-being. But Jesus says, I'm more concerned for your spiritual well-being. Haven't you realized that the miracles are signs that I am the provider, the savior, the life giver? Now, let's be clear. The disciples were different to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had no faith in Jesus. But the disciples, verse 8, they had faith, even though it says they had little faith. What they needed was to listen and learn from Jesus. They'd been listening, they'd heard him, but had they understood quite what he was on about? What they needed was Jesus to teach them, both negatively to warn them, positively to instruct them. And that was how they would come to understand. So you see how it starts. He warns them, he rebukes them, then he instructs them, and then it says they understood. Listening is not the same as learning. You're listening to me, but you may not be learning anything. Many words we hear come in one ear and go straight out the other, and how easily this can happen with the word of God. So a question to ask one another later on in the evening would be, what have I learnt today? When I've come to church at the Green, when I've listened to God's word, what have I learnt today? It's a question we ask our children, isn't it, when they come home from school. What have you learnt at school today? So what have you learnt about Jesus? Not filling our head with facts, but what have we learnt to live with him as our Lord and Savior? What warnings, what rebukes, what encouragements, what reasons to give him thanks and praise? So the question for us is, what have I learned today from Jesus? What is it that will take us to be a listener and a learner, though? Well, to be teachable, to be hungry, to learn from him, to be humble and willing to come to him and be changed by him, and to ask him to teach us. That is how we'll begin to understand. And he has given us his Holy Spirit. His Spirit helps us to understand his word. This is addressed to disciples. Let me just say before we finish, there is a word here to those who aren't yet his disciples, who don't yet follow him. There may be much that we do not understand about Jesus. There may be questions we have, there may be major obstacles to coming to faith in Jesus. Have you asked him to give you understanding? Have you asked him to teach you? Are you willing to listen and learn from him? If you are, then hear Jesus' words. Have a look with me. They're printed on the sheet there for you on the back page. He invites us to come to him. And as he does you and me, all his disciples, to come and learn from him, and we'll find he has the words of eternal life, that he is, as it says, gentle and humble in heart. So come to him and learn from him, and so have life. Let's be quiet for a moment and think, what have I learned about Jesus today? What have I learned from Jesus? And then I'll pray. Lord, thank you for the invitation to come to you and to learn from you. We pray that our hearts, so often cold and hard, would desire more and more to come and learn and to grow in our love for Jesus. Amen. Well, who is the Jesus that we have faith in? If you are someone trusting in Jesus, there are many places in the New Testament where it articulates, it speaks of that. And these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 are a very clear, succinct creed, a statement of what we believe. Have a look with me. We're going to stand to say these words together, to wiggle our legs, because we're not sort of standing up for our time together. So would you like to stand? And if you're someone trusting in Jesus, please join together as we say these words that remind us of this gospel line that Christ has died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Let's say together, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Do have a seat, and Kate's going to come and lead us in our prayers.